We also still never talked about the Mormon Church edict or whatever.
I mean, do you want to start with that? Or I can start with my sex shit if you want to use that to pep up with. And or maybe the Mormons will get you going more than my sex life will.
I am rock hard for Mormon news.
Yeah.
Can we start a publication called Rock Hard Mormon News?
Yep.
Solid as a rock.
My boner for the Mormon Church. Solid as a rock.
You're still on the rolls, too.
I am still on the rolls. But if anyone wants to excommunicate me, I insist on you doing the laying all the hands thing and taking the Holy Spirit away in person. So
insist.
Do let me know. Oh, yeah.
Vehemently insist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Please take the Holy Spirit away from me. That's so fucking creepy. It's crazy. I don't even like to say, like, that felt to say, like, take the Holy Spirit away from me. Like, so I know it's going to feel intense if I ever get those people to do that. But.
Yeah. I wish I had some sort of, like, past spiritual connection to be taken away from me like that.
Yeah.
I just don't, you know, like... There's no fun, like, excommunication ritual for the Methodist Church.
Yeah.
As is tradition with Methodists. Pretty white bread about that, too. Just,
you know, not as much fun to be had with childhood trauma.
So I kind of read about this, but then, like, stopped because I was like, long story short, Mormons still aren't about the transes.
Well,
but
I
now,
mean, what
more
did you think was
going
to happen?
Yeah, I know.
Breaking news. Mormons have changed their mind about everything.
I didn't know.
So,
you know, because they tried to do that thing like with the gay parents a while back where not even the kids could be in the church, but then they reversed it because of the backlash. So I didn't know when I saw that there was new shit about trans people if it was just going to be a revamping of like, fuck trans people, or if it was going to be like a deepening of like, no, here's specifically how we're going to fuck trans people, right?
Yeah. You know, like, there's a pamphlet on how we're specifically going to fuck trans people.
Also, I just realized I've been doing this while talking all day, like gently brushing against my nipples, and it's just like, I'm so fucking horny, and like they're right there, and it's like, I've like been subconsciously, I'll be talking or like be at work and be like, God damn it, I gotta fucking keep my hands down here from my tits. Yeah. I want to touch them so bad.
Okay, well, I'll go back to ignoring that, but... Okay, well, but there were, I took a couple of screenshots.
Yeah, so tell me your take on what the Mormon Church has done with the transes now. I say the transes like I'm not part of them.
Okay, I'm just going to try to remember, because I did read like two different articles about it. Okay, so first of all, people who don't know that much about the Mormon Church and the history of their like relationship to LG blah 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 stuff is that they were.
Can we just only start saying
LG blah blah blah?
Yeah, everything besides
LG blah blah blah.
The L and G are the only two important letters.
Well, then the B is in the blah blah blah, and then it's just it just is what it is. So. It can be, then G can stand for genderqueer for all I care. You know, who cares? There's lesbians and there's genderqueers and there's blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anywho.
So, yeah. So, Mormons had the proclamation to the family come out at some point when I was, you know, in my teens. I mean, it was during the testy times when the gay marriage debate was fully raging in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of early on came out with this thing that was like, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman, and gender is an inherent part of your soul that's always been. Mormons believe that all of our souls have existed eternally and always will, and so that our souls are boys or girls, and that's an important part of our, you know,
soul.
and so that's just, they just came out, and we're like, here it is, just cutting it off at the pass, basically. And then when the gay marriage debates, I mean, you know, they were always very like, spending a lot of time and money and energy fighting gay marriage.
Yeah. They were essential in defeating Prop 8.
Exactly. And in California. So the night that Obama won and everyone was like, hallelujah, it was also like, wah, 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 about gay marriage in California. And that was, I mean, a lot of, you know, analysts think if the Mormon Church hadn't done what they did, it probably wouldn't have happened. Mormon Church was instrumental in defeating the Prop 8. So there's like a fucked up documentary. You can go watch it on that if you want. But anyway, so then, yeah. And you know, it's also like a hate the sin, love the sinner situation. Gay people are certainly allowed at church, but if you're like actively doing gay stuff, you can't go to the temple and you'll be asked like to not take the sacrament. You won't be given Which a communion for
what's
for
considered actively doing gay stuff. So like
having sex or.
Well, I'm just saying, like, how are they going to know? Like if you and your husband are like gay, but you're like come to the Mormon church.
Well, you. Yeah. I mean, it's an honesty thing, but most people aren't really willing to like just lie and their whole life. Cause if you believe in the Mormon church,
I guess
you're
if
not
you're
gonna,
already gay at the Mormon church, you're not going to lie about.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are butt fucking, so I won't eat the sacrament.
I mean,
okay.
This is the kind of thing I might do for various anthropological reasons and fun, but yeah. And cause I like the church and stuff, but I mean, that would, yeah, would be, I would have to really decide to commit.
Could they hold hands in church or would they be like, can you please
it's not even like that. I mean, you would really be expected not to be in relationships like that, which is a weird thing because then it becomes, what's a friendship if you're not having sex?
Well, that's what I'm asking is, like, I guess when you say like engaged in homosexual acts, I'm like, is like a relationship that, would they let a couple come? Would it be no? Would it be like, if we know you're gay, but you're single, you're not currently getting any dick right now, come on in.
You know,
but
I remember asking those questions when I was like 16, 17 and, you know, being
can
forced
we get
to talk to this
Mormon
bishop.
Lawyer in here? Like fucking.
Yeah. Cause then I was like, all right, my plan is I'm going to sin for a few years and then I'm going to marry a man at some point who's like chill with me being a lesbian and he's got pecs or something. And I can just be like, this is what it is. And when we get to the afterlife, we can get a bunch of wives together and then presumably we can fuck cause we'll be gods. So, you know, not that big of a deal, you know, to deal with for like 60 years or something, you know, from when you're 20 to 80 to just be like,
for eternity,
my plan was me and the dude would just check out chicks together and be like, yeah, let's fuck a bunch of hot chicks when we're dead, I guess. I don't know. And
this necrophilia thing kind of recurring now.
Well, in a Mormon.
Yeah, in a Mormon ethereal heavenly
body. Well, Mormons
body
believe
sense.
In like full body resurrection and everything. Yeah. So. Maybe that's part of why the body doesn't creep me out as much. I don't know.
This is the Gender Fluids Podcast. I'm Ava Smart, a 26-year-old trans girl and bottom-leaning switch.
And I'm Ariel Isaac Norman, a 32-year-old androgynous vagina person. And we're the only queer podcast that isn't super gay.
Gender Fluids is a podcast about all the sex and all the people. If you want to get in contact with us or follow us, you can find us on Instagram at Gender Fluids Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Gender Fluids Pod. Our email is genderfluidspod@gmail.com. And you can find us on Patreon under Gender Fluids. Enjoy the episode, y'all.
Okay, so
Mormons have a troubled, history with this shit.
Yeah, and it's not like the trans stuff was coming up much, but the proclamation, and you know, in my conversations, it's always just gay marriage, but the proclamation's family had kind of seen like that was happening, and that's why they said that thing about gender's eternal. But this is just kind of where it was left. In 2015, I think the Mormon Church tried to do this thing about, if your parents are gay, you can't come. You can't be a, you know, fully participating member of the church. Whatever. I mean, they pretty quickly realized, you know, you can't let the 88-year-old one make the new rule or whatever, mm-hmm. and someone backpedaled that. So this thing, it's just apparently they've been leaving it up to each individual bishop of like congregations to kind of decide how they wanted to deal with the trans people in there. Cause they've always just been trying to be like, hey, we're friendly and kind and loving. So we're not going to take like a mean stance on the trans stuff and everyone can still come to church just like with the gay stuff. But yeah, if you're like living that's the kind of thing about, it's the spirit of the holding hands and the whatever. Cause some people think you should be trying, if you're gay, to be straight and in relationships, but other people would say it's okay to just be celibate. And then maybe in the afterlife, we'll figure something out, even though to become like a god in the top thing, you've really got to be in a marriage. So I was always like, fuck you. I'm not going to get to the top level of heaven because I'm gay and I'm like cursed with that. No, I'll marry a man if that's what it takes.
Yeah, play the system.
I'm going to play the game I'm playing. So
I read the rule book. I know what I need to do to win.
Yeah, I'm not going to. What? Yeah.
Hand me the bong.
If that's the system, that's the system, you know? So I think that's the thing. If I were then like, I had a friendship, but then, and we were holding hands and stuff, but if we were like about to make out a lot of times and enjoying the sexual tension of it all. And like that would be the wrong spirit, you know, even if we weren't fucking or kissing, whatever.
So they're trying to do the same thing with trans people where it's like, you can be trans, but don't transition. Is that it?
Essentially. And it doesn't. And this is the thing. It all like breaks down because like there's no one has a cohesive idea about about how, what that would even look like. So here's something that I just screenshotted from an article. It says, those first few bullet points will likely be welcome news to trans members. Oh, did I get the bullet points? Oh, damn it. I might have to just find the story.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like the way I read it was that was kind of the case where it's like you can be trans and that's cool, but like you can't be like actively living your life as the gender you see yourself as.
Right,
but
the way that they try to define that is so strange.
I know, but it's oddly affirming for a lot of the more theoretical points about gender identity, and that's like they're saying like no, your true gender identity is like what you say it is. It is that. We just don't like you making yourself look that way. It's all about the visual,
a lot of it is visual. Like
it's kind of like interesting. It's bringing like the ethereal and the theoretical into the very physical and present, right? Like it has to be perceptual or perceptible in order for it to be real, you know, which is what a lot of people argue against, like in gender theory, right? In a lot of ways, right? That like you don't have to do anything to transition to be trans. You saying you're trans is enough, right?
Yeah.
Which has always been my favorite part about like the whole bathroom bill debate, because Republicans were oddly making a very kind of like cogent argument where it's like, so what, a man with like a beard can just be like, I'm a woman now and walk in and use whatever restroom he wants? It's like, yeah, that's exactly what we're saying. If that's what that person believes, fucking go for it.
Right.
We're also saying that that's not going to happen, because what fucking bearded, there's a bearded person in like a women's restroom that's like trying to fuck a little girl, I think someone's going to say something for a number of reasons besides with a beard in here.
Most of the time, I'm not seeing sex in the women's restroom unless it's gay men at a gay club in the women's restroom. in the quote unquote, maybe it's still considered women's in some way restroom. The thing about the restroom thing has always been like, you're not allowed to rape anyone in the restroom, no matter what sex or gender you are.
Yeah.
So we just generally are stopping that behavior if we see it going
but
on.
Just that line of thought about it being about the, well, you can just do it. Yes.
That's saying. A lot of times, like liberally types are talking in theoretical, like thought experiment ways, whereas the red people are getting very specific, like what if but that would mean a bearded person could be, you know, and we're like, yes, technically, but that's not going to happen. Kind of like with partial birth abortions.
I mean, I'm saying like, even if it did happen, I'm fine with that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen very often. And if it does, it's like, yeah, the person's probably going to do it in a situation, you know, I don't know. But
some Mormon church.
Yeah. But I was just saying, you know, just like with partial birth abortions, the whole thing is like, well, you could cut off a baby's head while it's coming out of the vagina or whatever. It's like, yeah, but no one's doing that. Yeah,
I wish, but we're not.
Yeah, that's so metal. Like, someone
give me that job. Whoa. Baby executioner? Yes. I want that on my fucking resume.
We slice the throats of the gay ones as they come out once we isolate.
Oh, I'm
going to
drink that blood and make me gayer. Yeah. That's how it happens.
Circumcise their heads off. Okay.
So, I'd get real into my craft. I'd be making little baby sized guillotines. I make a different guillotine
comfortably
for each
between
baby.
Your thighs. Yeah.
I get some other fag to read the aura of the baby while it's still in the belly, and I build the guillotine to that specification.
Anyway. And what do we need? My blue guillotine or my pink one? Okay.
There's one baby that comes. I'm like, this one's my protege.
I'm taking this one. But that's the thing. It's like, it doesn't, it only comes up if the woman's health is in danger or something. No one's kind of like, you know what? I was going to keep this baby, but now that it's starting to come out of me, let's go ahead and kill it. Like, that's not real. So we're just, they're coming up with fake scenarios that could potentially be a problem if it really were, but like that, no one's really going to do it. Except for one, again, remember we fantasized about the one woman serial killer who just like, once partial birth, she's somewhere where you can just abort anything you want, even partial. And so she just like, her favorite thing is to just get pregnant just so she can kill the baby at later and later stages. I mean, that's wild. That's funny. You get to eat extra for a while. Yeah. Anyway,
it's
commitment to a fetish.
Also,
man.
Talk about just like, I mean, if you've done it time and time again and you're into it, what an extreme like sensation and pleasure, like to know that like you're raising a thing only to kill it.
Seriously. Well, do we do that with animals?
And it has, but it has no conceptualization of existence outside of you.
Yeah.
That's fucking weird. Trippy. That's
kind of trippy. Oh, there's all these people, like some of these women seem to be addicted to getting pregnant, like the ones who have 18 kids or something, you know, 11 to 18 kids, whatever. I mean, but then you're like, you some think, of them like, probably didn't even want
them.
Your pussy
feel good after a while. Like it would either be numb or like on child 17, you're like having the most intense orgasm. Yeah.
Totally.
Like, oh, push it out.
Yeah, reverse fisted by a baby's head. I mean, it's an, yeah.
Also, you know, if you have like 18 children and they're all, you know, a year apart or whatever, it's like your biological and psychological clock, your conceptualization of time in a year begins to revolve around the gestation and
totally.
Of a child.
But yeah, some of these people must have just really liked getting pregnant. And if they had only had good, you know, laws about women's choices, then or vagina people's choices, you could have done as much as you want and not even had to have the kids.
We should have a special fetish law, right? Where it's like, okay,
you're allowed to abort.
You know, it's like you get to have it. You like you get pregnant with the baby, and I know nothing about, not enough about science to like make this accurate. But like, if you could have a baby, but then have like you know, go to a doctor and have them like insert like a needle into like its spinal cord beneath its neck at a certain point in like development where it's not ever really conscious and it doesn't really have like feelings yet, but it's, and it stops the baby from fully coming alive. That way, like the person who wants to like birth it out at some point can pick what point they have the baby at and birth it out and not have to worry about it, right? Instead of having to abort the babies, let's stop it beforehand. And then it's just like a real life baby dildo at that point, right? So we turned it into a toy.
Wait, at what point do we freeze its mental development?
Whatever is medically possible. Like at some point, ideally before it's like, you know, fully kind of like starting to kick and shit, right? Like,
yeah.
It can't be kicking, I think.
Okay, we figure out the moment that makes you comfortable to make it into a baby dildo.
Yeah, that just like stops all mental development, right?
An internal brain dead, but fully real human baby dildo. Yeah. To
like the heart's still working and shit, but like it's like not like reverse becoming like smart or anything. I don't know. Birth.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's possible. If we could get someone
you want
to work
that heartbeat,
that.
Really, when you're that's, fucking yourself the thing, from is like, the
you
inside.
Wanna, yeah, you want to keep the body alive, but the brain's that heart, gone.
Yeah, you want to keep, yeah, if you can get it to keep growing, is that what you want to? Like, keep developing?
Like, if we could Terry Schiavo this baby.
Terry Schiavo. Baby. But keep the brain built. Yeah, can you keep the brain? That's an interesting question. If anyone's a sciencey type out there, let us know if you think it's possible. We can keep the brain, you know, the fetus body growing, but
the brain gone.
Retard it to a Terry Schiavo kind of level. Or as close as we, you know, whatever.
You know.
If it has a little of consciousness, I'm okay with that. I believe that we're all God's mind experiencing this for fun. It would be kind of interesting to be the fetus thing going, as you're being used as a dildo to your mother fucks herself with.
I didn't actually. I mean, this one was so absurd. I didn't really try and put myself in either position. But now that I'm thinking
about it. Oh, I'm such a bottom for this.
But now that I'm thinking about it, I could like. I
not
could
a
see
lot
myself
of interest
like,
in topping this one, but if we can get a hangy,
yeah. Like, because to be able to experience the comfort of the womb and then the shock and terror of being
without
pushed
the
out.
Burden of the frontal lobe, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just
but
the burden
then
of
have, like, your existence to be released from one warmth
being.
Into the warmth of, you know, death,
yeah, and
right?
You glimpse the outside world and you go, I want it back in the womb. And then you get pushed up back in the womb. That's a great life. Keep me in
the
and out of that
womb.
For a couple thousand years. Yeah. Yeah, this woman's a hero.
Hero.
Giving someone that experience.
Honestly, the best,
who isn't jealous,
most pleasable experience
who
of
who isn't jealous is that Terry Schiavo baby. That is what we all want.
That's what we'll have to call it, though. Terry Schiavo.
Terry Schiavo, your baby.
Man, I got so into Terry Schiavo. Just like...
Yeah, you want to leave it with that little bit more of consciousness, though,
than a flicker.
You want that flicker. Remember, like, that Mormon couple who had adopted that crack baby thinking it would die in 6 months?
Oh, yeah, and then it lived.
And then it lived till 16 as a vegetable person that they had to wheel around. So that one had that, you know, if you'd played bright, you know, loud sounds or showed flash bright colors, it would go, yeah, a little. So that's the level I'm thinking, you know, just enough to be like, you know. Yeah, dude.
You can see the fear
of
the
mom?
Physical world in its eyes for a brief moment, like, and then it's gone.
Or maybe sometimes the mom tries to, Should we be calling this a mom?
This person. It could person. Be a trans man.
Could be a dude. I wouldn't even go on that angle. I meant more like, are you a mother if you do a shavo?
I would consider you a mother.
Dildo fetish. Yeah, I'm going to go. Yeah, Mother's Day's for you.
Mother's Day.
if it's for anyone, it's for you. For you. No, but sometimes you, like, just you're in the bedroom.
Shavo baby cards, like
you
Mother's
could
Day cards.
Put all kinds of stuff in front of your legs for the baby to look at for that half a second or you pull it out. If its eyes are ever facing
fully
that.
Open.
Yeah.
Anyway. And they might not be able to open if you kill the brain like
probably
that.
Probably not. Yeah. You tape them open. Clockwork Orange, your top cherry
shavo. You put like tape
fetus.
On like the exit of your vagina uh-huh. as the baby's face slides out and like tapes open.
You stretch the eyes open. You have a Clockwork Oranging system of tape on your cherry shavo fetus
baby.
Dildo. Okay.
There, we would also have to put some laws where it's like, okay, look. You don't have to kill them instantly, but like within 45 seconds, they got to go. You know, like you can let your baby be around for like X amount of time before you.
I was thinking this. Are we thinking this is a good time for this baby?
Well, no, I'm just saying like, I was going with the whole like, I'm still murdering babies as they come out of my vagina.
Oh, no, I'm thinking, how long can we keep this alive? If you keep the umbilical cord connected
and
you pull it out,
and you want to be able to like raise it. Oh, I thought in my world, we were like murdering them like shortly after they came out.
I mean, we could do that too, but I'm just saying.
Like instead of partial birth abortions,
this one,
you were just like killing.
I was just thinking you could keep it at least until, if the body does continue to grow, you could keep it going at least until it's getting a little too big to shove back in there.
Oh, you're actually using it as a dildo, like the in and out.
And I mean, maybe you could keep it just.
Oh, okay. I can see, like, you could get, like, some of those, like, rubber bands that are around the ends of bananas and keep its angles together. That way you could, like.
Yeah, kind of like a turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could kind of, like, fuck yourself with this.
Yeah,
like,
keep
baby.
That going for a while. I'm not sure with the umbilical cord or how that works or.
I mean, I think
you would
get
die.
Rid of that.
I mean, however, well, no, because you got to feed it so you can keep it alive in the inside.
Well, I guess really at that point, it's like once you birth the baby, you know, you cut the umbilical cord and then you can just like let it stay alive as long as it can stay alive without eating or drinking water. So you got like.
I don't want it to starve to death. That's what I'm saying. If you keep the umbilical cord connected, how long can you just keep it connected and keep feeding the baby somehow? That's what I'm wondering.
I don't
know. They always cut it, but.
Yeah, but like, I'm just thinking, like, if I'm going to fuck myself with this baby, I don't want an umbilical cord in the way. I don't want. What if it gets caught and, like, the foot accidentally wraps around it inside my, like, loose ass pussy?
There's so much more to worry about in this scenario than what you're talking about.
I'm just thinking.
You got minor logistical issues.
But that's why, like, in mine, I wasn't trying to keep them alive. Like, the whole idea of the experience was that you were birthing this baby to give it one brief second of, like, life outside of you before it, like, gets its
throat
cut or whatever.
I was thinking we could get the head, like, out in the world for a second and be like, and then shove it back in.
Oh, shove it back in.
Into the womb, yeah, and be like, Oh, wow, that was weird.
See, I was talking about the, like, back into the womb as, like, a once you get murdered,
oh,
you're shoved
back
into
the void.
Yeah, that kind of womb. I was going womb to womb.
Womb to
that
void.
Way. Yeah.
Okay.
About trans people.
Which led Natalie to that. I think this is on the LDS Church. Okay, so they're kind of saying there was an 806-page new general handbook. So that someone, you know, has combed through. And it's softened its approach on sex issues a little bit. But it's interesting.
I'm interested on the trans stuff, though.
I know, but can we just... I think this is fascinating. It's like part of their whole thing. Like, they strongly discourage surrogate motherhood. Do you know about that?
Uh-uh.
So it's like they... Because we're sealing children to us for time and all eternity, like people feel a little creepy about if you're moving eggs around and stuff and who's carrying this for that, whose babies it really. But it's weird because, like, you can adopt that crack baby and seal it to your family, and that's cool. So I'm like, so then what's wrong with
just people like
any
their
of
things.
It?
They don't want it being spread around.
Yeah, people don't know how to share. Okay, but let me get to the trans stuff. Okay, here we go. Well, there's an 806-page manual. Okay, so the word transgender did not appear anywhere in the 2010 handbook, which did have references to transsexual. But here it gets a brand new and rather long section titled Transgender Individuals. It will be interesting to see how LGBT allies in the church reacted this section despite the updated terminology, whereas previous editions of the handbook allowed for a wide latitude on the part of local lay leaders who have transgender members of their congregations. The new handbook is far less flexible, dictating to local leaders what is and is not acceptable. Trans members can attend church meetings and social events of the church, be baptized and confirmed, which is like, okay, partake of the sacrament or communion, which is pretty big. But again, if you were having gay sex, you couldn't do that. Receive priesthood blessings, use the pronouns and names they prefer in reference to themselves. And then it says, but see below, and then have a calling, a volunteer job in the church and a temple recommend if they do not pursue either surgical, hormonal, or, quote, social transitioning to the opposite gender. That part's where I'm like, what?
Yeah, dude, they're essentially like, it's like a very formal way of being like, look, you can be trans, but you stay the fuck in your closet.
Stay in the clothes we told you to. I mean, that's my thing growing up as a Mormon, like one of the, you know, many reasons, but as much as some of the church appeals to me, that I'm like, fuck you, because wearing skirts and dresses is just not, you know, tenable.
Yeah.
It's just not tenable. I won't do it. And so those things being like really kind of hard and fast rules, whereas for some churches, it was just more about like a formality they didn't want to lose. And so they didn't want people wearing jeans, and it's not even as much about gender, but there's some of that. For the Mormon church, it was pretty like, you know,
yeah,
ladies have to wear skirts and dresses. And it was a nightmare growing up. So yeah, they say, oh, fuck. Here we go. Oh, sorry, this thing keeps loading.
That's super interesting.
So it used to be, yeah, you never knew who your leader would be, whether you moved somewhere or just like someone did that job for 2 to 6 years and then there was a new person and he could just change the rules on you, and it's always going to be a he. So I have heard stories of a bishop who would not let a youth do baptisms in the temple simply because they, and they is the right pronoun here, were uncertain of their gender identity, which it's like, you know, you just go and say, hey, I'm not really sure about my gender. And they're like, okay, well, you're not going to be joining the other kids who are doing the rituals in the temple.
Well, yeah, all that sort of discrimination shit's terrible. But
well, it's just kind of like, just weird to be like, oh, I'm having questions. And I guess they're allowed to use pronouns.
I know. So I'm just saying, like, I mean, it's a really kind of like, I don't think it's a good position to hold, obviously, but it's a really smart closet they've built.
Yeah.
It is a very well thought out closet where it's just like, but isn't that so interesting that like they don't consider using a different name or pronoun part of social transition?
That's what I'm wondering, because it's like, okay, so we, you know, surgeries and hormones we can put in a box and go, okay,
fine.
I get it.
Yeah, I see how you can make that leap.
Yeah.
But the social transition where it's just like,
but even then there's like that stuff where men a lot of times or penis people wind up taking testosterone when they're older, or women are taking estrogen for one reason or another, or women, this, you know, different people with different genitals for other medical reasons do take hormones sometimes.
Yeah, but,
so there's already some, I'm just saying, some wiggle room where God sometimes is happy for people to take hormones. So it does put a little chink.
But in that case, they're not trying to change,
right,
like their
their soul's
gender. Yeah, the soul's gender.
The soul's look, really.
Yeah.
Okay, so
is there anything else about it, or is that,
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, hold on. I know they get into that weird distinction.
I don't care about this person's thoughts on it, you know? Like, whatever, well, who, yeah, wrote, but, this.
Hold on.
But the manual itself gets into the distinction?
Yeah, hold on.
Huh.
Okay, the policy says, leaders also counsel against social transitioning. A social transition includes changing dress or grooming, or changing a name or pronouns to present oneself as other than his or her birth sex. Leaders advise that those who socially transition will experience some church membership restrictions for the duration of this transition. Restrictions include receiving or exercising the priesthood, receiving or using a temple recommend, and receiving some church callings. So I don't understand, because now they're saying...
So that's also... That wording itself is in the manual.
Yeah, that's from the manual. So I'm like, well, then what does that mean? Because of social... Changing dress or grooming, which... Changing dress? To what extent?
Well, I mean, look, all they're doing is like giving like the... They're giving a more formal structure for people just to like discriminate in whatever way they want.
Yeah. Well,
it's just another type of law that we've written to be broadly vague to like apply in whatever way we see fit.
Yeah.
You know, of course it's like stupid and like has several loopholes, or not loopholes, fucking, God, I'm too high now.
Purposely vague, nonsensical.
Exploitable language.
I think the last thing that it says is, if a member decides to change his or her preferred name or pronouns of address, the name preference may be noted in the preferred name field on the membership record. The person may be addressed by the preferred name in the ward. So that's basically what they're saying by softening, is that they're now saying you can, if you choose to, write the name that they prefer in the roles.
But you still won't get any of this shit.
And you are allowed, like, they're basically saying it's not against, you know, it's not a sin for you to use their pronouns. It's allowing people to use the name and the pronouns, like, so that it's not their fault if you're doing that. But if the person really, they're still going to suffer the consequences that they would for surgery, that they would, as they will for pronouns. Yeah. So it's just taking the moral onus off of everyone else in the ward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, look, it's like, yeah, it's like you're technically allowed to be trans, mm-hmm. but if you decide to, and you can't change your physical dress at all, and the only way we're going to allow you to like show that right. is but through your name and your pronoun, which you can do, but it's like your butt fucking is gay back when, like, you know, you were talking about the gay marriage going on. It's like, you won't be able to do anything else. You're still allowed to come, totally tight, but you really can't enjoy any of the perks of,
like, so if a vagina person puts on pants and comes to church, they may as well be having butt sex in this analogy. Exactly. I mean, that's kind of like the severity. And that's what I'm wondering.
That's what I'm saying. It's such a smart.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like,
that's how the Mormon Church always does. Do they have a great team of PR people? I think they really console with more than they spend time on their knees. I think that they, you know,
and not in the right ways.
If only they spent some really fun time on their knees. But I mean, they really, because they always try to figure out how to toe these lines. That's why the 2015 thing was so surprising, because it was so out of character for their like usual kind of savviness with
really blundered straight into like fuck the gays.
Yeah, they went hard, fuck the
and
gays,
it, like, and bit them.
I think someone did not read the pulse of anybody. Yeah. But so now they're just trying to be like, this is because they're always going for. We are hard and fast about our certain social conservative things that we, you know, religious ideas that we have, but we are the kind, friendly, welcoming, good people. And that's their thing. And so this is their way of being like, you can be trans if you want to sin, but hopefully you're just going to be trans in your heart, in your head, and then keep coming to church. And one day you'll stop being trans. That was their plan for gay people. And that's still their plan for trans people. And it just is what it is. So I would give this an F+.
F+.
Church. As per usual, we'll give them an F+ rating on their LG blah, blah, blah stances.
Took us 34 minutes.
We went some places.
I know. I love it. No, it's good. That's going to be so good.
Oh, good. Well, if you... are still here. Hey, I'm come to my off-script show this Saturday. It's March 7th at 10 p.m. at the Fallout Theater, and tickets are available on my Instagram at Ellen DeGenderless. It's my show where we do stand-up, and you can heckle us for prizes, and there's free pizza, and it's a hell of a good time. Hey, Ava?
I thought you were just being Canadian for a second. Eh?
Fucking a serial killer. Have we talked about that? Just how these women have been into serial killers historically, and now, if anything, we like, fetishizing them all the time with these murderino podcasts and stuff.
I mean, I talk about it on stage a lot to no laughs. I have not made it, not made it into a joke yet. The only thing I get laughs at are saying that I'm fine if you fuck me as an 8-year-old, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, my whole thing is like, look, you can do that, and I'll call you daddy. And that's great. But if you listen to murder podcast all day long, I think there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to get fucked as an 8-year-old.
Right.
I think something's off. Like, I think you're right. It's an intensely fetishistic relationship. We talked about this on the Kobe thing.
Well, yeah,
because
I also talk about this with my pedophysionato bit. Yeah, we're the same page.
But it's just like, it is like a thing that like people get off on.
Yeah.
And like, I 100% think that like there's somebody who like, would like seek out a serial killer just to fuck them. Mm-hmm. Like you know how serial killers kind of have like groupies in
totally.
A lot of ways.
It happens a lot.
But if they have an active serial killer groupie, I think that would be a new thing that we haven't seen. I think it might have been a thing that's happened before in the past, but I don't think like. Yeah.
Well, we all get the appeal, bad boys. But not only that, but to try to be like someone he doesn't kill, but at every moment, talk about knife play, you know, he could really just kill you. You know, you really might be killed at any point. I mean, that's an intense experience to have. And to have this person like looking you in the eyes and fucking you and whatever, and to just be at his mercy like fully like that. I mean, yeah, I think I can see why that fetish would be interesting for sure. Yeah. Pip.
I mean, I'm like thinking about it now, but it's like I would have to, it would have to be forced for me though, which isn't what we're talking about, you know? I don't think I would ever, I can't put myself as a bottom in it where it's like I willingly go fuck a serial killer just to be around them for that sensation, right? Mm-hmm. Which is what I think somebody would do. I would have to be like, he's keeping me there.
Yeah.
And like, I know for some reason I just cannot escape.
Yeah, morally. Yeah, in real life. For sure.
But that's what I'm saying. No, I think in real life, there is somebody that will do this. I think they will seek them out and like fuck them. Like,
yeah,
I think
but
this
you
is
and I
one
would
of,
feel too guilty.
Oh, yeah.
If it was our fault.
We I think
have
this
to
is
be
one
prisoners.
Of those like fetishes that we might have come up with, but that has definitely happened before.
Oh, for sure.
But like, is very possible.
No, I think it happens a lot because weren't women like, haven't they always been writing those serial killer dudes? There's been a couple of cute serial killers. I forget which ones are which.
Well, they write them, but I'm just saying, I think that somebody's going to find one that's active and like go seek them out to have a relationship and like try and like contact them to be like, hey, I'm really into you and your work.
Yeah, because, you know, there are all these murderer, you know, type people who, like, not only listen to the podcast, but, like, try to solve, cold cases or unsolved things. So, yeah, when some of these murderinos are, like, finding active serial killers.
App.
And that's their, as they're solving these murders in order to go fuck these guys.
Yeah.
You murderinos are sickos. We know it.
So she's writing, the way you hid body six was so inventive.
Uh-huh. real groupies. And then just thinking... Does she think she's not going to get killed? Does she think she is? I don't, you know.
Does she care?
Does she care? Does she even care?
What if she just like looks in, because I'm saying she, because it feels like it would be a she.
It feels like we have a he-she situation going on.
Yeah, let's be real.
Groupie.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, she looks into like his eyes like, do you want to kill me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
don't you have to ask that?
You always do, yeah.
Like as he's inside you, like you look into his eyes like.
That's the whole point.
Do you want to kill me?
Literally, that's the whole point of this whole thing is.
That moment.
Yeah.
Where, and then like, oh my God. Okay. That's kind of hot.
Yeah. See?
Fuck.
That's why I've always thought. So, because
it's not fun to ask somebody if you don't know if it's a real possibility. Like
no,
most anybody I'm going to fuck, I'm pretty sure.
But, I mean, you can only be so sure. Because I've always had this fantasy about like, what about like a serial killer, probably a woman who's very patient and, you know, like doesn't feel the need to be like, I gotta kill all these people. But it's like, you know, what would be interesting is if I like fall in love with someone, let them fall on me, whatever, to the extent maybe that they have probably have some ability to fall in love, really, you know, but just maybe there's a little bit of an ability to cut certain kind of empathy, whatever. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, and then you just live for maybe decades and then just one day in your 60s, I don't know, whatever, you just are like, by the way, I'm going to kill you and I've always been going to kill you. You know, whatever. So, have some whole moment about it, you know, because you can never know that that's not what's going on with anyone.
Yeah.
That they're just long-term sharking you.
Long con.
You know, whatever, long con, yeah. You know, so I, you know, sometimes those are the kinds of things that then you can just add on to anybody in your sex life because they don't need to be, you know.
They don't need to be told.
On it. It's like.
Because
you
then
just
you wonder like if, then you're like, oh, fuck, did I just bring this into reality? Did I just incept this idea in their head? What if I told them that and it's their fetish? And now they're like, they can't.
But I've definitely told probably every lover of mine that because. I want them to shiver with me. Look into each other's eyes. Which of us is the killer? You know, it's a fun game.
Oh my God. I couldn't do it, man. I'm too much of a puss. Straight up too much of a puss.
No, like,
no way.
Love is fucked up anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Might as well imagine we're going to kill each other. Or are we imagining? Damn.
It turns out you're both serial killers. And you both draw your knives. Some Mr. and Mrs. Smith
this
shit.
This would be a great movie. Like, yeah. Each one finds the other's, like, hidden journal of, like, the plans mm-hmm. drawn out and, like, your notes and shit.
Yeah, I could even. So it's like the kind of some of the Killing Eve hotness, but we could up the ante because it's two serial killers who are trying to.
Who've just both discovered the other's a serial killer.
The other, yeah. And they got together at like 25 and now they're like 45. So they're still like super hot and they're like
42.
Okay, whatever. I don't know.
I'd just say 42. I think 42, one, because it's a great Hitchhiker's Guide reference. And then two, I think 45 people start associating with like being like closer to 50, which is like more negotiable in the hottest scale for a lot of people. And like 42 is kind of like a. It just feels good.
See, that's like,
I don't know. I like 4 and 2 together.
Maybe,
too,
but
right?
The older I get, the more I find older and older women hot. You know.
I mean, me too. And I'm just so saying, just like, but I want them to. I want them to be like.
I probably just got 3 extra years on you right now.
I want them to be just over the hill, like really settling down and like.
The hill.
40s technically, you know, the over the hill or whatever. I'm just saying, but like, I kind of want that, like, they're hot, they're cool, but like, you know, they're not in their 30s anymore, but they're not on their way to being 50 yet, right? I like that like sweet spot.
No, because 45 is such a vulnerable age for a woman, you know, because it's like you are really reckoning with that 50 thing. That's fun.
What if we do 42 and 45?
Fine. Perfect. Yeah. Okay, so we're casting a movie. If anyone knows I'm hot, like potentially like super dark and hot 42 and 45-year-old lesbians or people who can look like a good jawline or something we can work with.
I want one to be trans. Can we make one trans?
Sure. I know you just want to get that one chick from L-Word and Sense8 on.
Jamie Clanton? Mm-hmm. No, I'm good. Look, you're not saying
what
I wouldn't cast her.
Casting yourself?
No. I'm not casting myself. I'm not saying I wouldn't cast her by any means, but it's just also like.
She's played out now.
No, she's fucking amazing. I'm just saying I didn't have her in mind. I wasn't trying to shoehorn my fantasies of Jamie mm-hmm. Clanton into this. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm just trying to shoehorn some trans person into this so I can project myself into it.
Yeah. Fine. Cool. Well, add that to the project board.
I don't know. Do you think there's like, I mean, I don't even say think. Wouldn't it be, have you ever masturbated to thoughts of a serial killer? Because I haven't.
I probably have, yeah.
I just can't get out. Because I'm thinking about like these people who wish they could fuck serial killers. Like the... You know, the John Wayne Gacy fangirls and shit and the boys, right? And like, you know, all these people still love Charlie Manson. And like, there's all these like murderers and serial killers that do have like people that want to fuck them. Like, it's got to be interesting just to try and like get off to that, like trying to find erotica to that. Like, I think the shit I'm trying to find is hard. Like, I bet that's even more difficult,
maybe.
Right? Like, to like masturbate to like.
Yeah, serial killer. Maybe, but we should. Yeah, let's look into it. It'd be because for me, that's one of those. Even though, you know, I'll use men in sort of dominance fantasies, but with this one, this is more of a psychological thing for me. So I don't really want it to be a man. And the only female serial killer we've got is Eileen Wuornos, and you can't just switch hot Charlize Theron in there for your fantasy. It just doesn't. So instead, yeah, if I do this kind of thing where it can just be like the girl, for instance, in my mind, I've definitely done that. I don't think about the famous serial killers or think about even like someone who's like, I'm killing people. I just think about like that. I've thought about that moment before of being like, are you going to kill me? You know, that sort of thing. That's just fucking hot.
Yeah. Like if I think about trying to put myself in that situation, that tension is
or
the tension something.
I mean, you say serial killers, we're thinking about like modern day, like people who are just doing that, but like genocidal people, like remember the little Star Wars fantasy where my body's on the ground amongst a bunch of dead bodies that this general person, like hot lesbian general person, comes onto the spaceship and is like seeing, and then she realizes this cute lesbian person is on the ground and she's like,
yeah,
I'm toying with like whether I'm going to kill you or fuck you or whatever. And then, yeah, remember that? So that's the same kind
of
thing. Somebody right?
Is
like
in
that's a serial
position
killer.
Of power, and that's like holding your life right?
In their hands.
Yeah, in their hands. Like it is their decision. Are they going to kill you or not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty hot. And I would fuck you either way. You know, it's like I'll fuck you to save my life.
Fuck you just for the fuck before you kill me. Yeah, you want to get that fucking die right at orgasm. Like you're having an orgasm, and that's when they kill you. Like yeah, that'd be tight.
Please. mean, that sounds tempting.
Yeah, there you go. So serial killer, well, you know, like we gender fluids is a two thumbs down on Murderinos podcast.
Yeah,
boo. But two thumbs up on serial killer fetish.
Yeah. If you're honest, be honest about it.
Yeah, no, it's totally fine if you're into murder as long as you're like, yeah, I fucking fetishize murder. I love it. I'm hard for murder.
But then you can't judge anybody else about fucking anything because you're hard for murder.
Exactly. Like
you just can't.
Yeah. You can't be a vegan. I'm just kidding. Only for selfish reasons. No, yeah, that's all. And I mean, some of the murderinos do understand that. Just to be clear, if you're a murderino who understands that you're a sick fuck just like the rest of us and you're not throwing stones out there, then that's fine. But, you know, if you're one of those who's thinking you're staying sexy and not getting murdered.
What are you doing with yourself?
This has been another NPR production out of Safe Space Studios.
We're broadcasting on 66.6 FM. That's KFUX. Peace.
Ciao.
This has been a Hoo Ha Ha podcast.